Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Friday edition. The no Jesse Nelson and no Mark Tauscher edition. But that's okay. Because we've got some outstanding Cousin Subs today. Cousin Subs, we believe in better edition. I'm back home in Green Bay, but thank you to the lovely people, including obviously Gina Della, at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and the Experience Center in Brookfield. What a great day yesterday it was. And lots of people came in. Somebody won the Yelich jersey. It was great. So thanks to everybody who stopped out and said hi. We were very busy, so I didn't get to say too many words to too many people, but I got to say hello to a lot of you, and thanks for coming out edition. And the, I don't like the term hot seat, but I do like the idea of preheating the oven a little bit. I'll explain coming up edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you want, everything you need, like the old Vertical Horizon song. All the customizability, all the ease of listening to live shows, easy listening to podcasts, links to the video channels. And it's all new, all redesigned, all customizable. It's all yours. It's the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in both the Android and Apple app stores. I am Jason Wilde in Green Bay. In for Jesse is our Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. In the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios is Riley Yauch. Yauchster, good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
And from his own undisclosed location, somewhere in the Florida Everglades, well, maybe not that, he is our famous friend, and he is our Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. It is Brian Bulaga. I've got some famous friends you probably never. Hello, famous friend. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I want to be very clear when I say this. I love the big fella. Love him. I tell the story all the time. Evan Cohen, Craig Karmazin, came to me as we were looking to transition from Green and Gold Today to a new show. They said, Jason, if you could pick anyone in the world to co-host a show with, who would it be? This was 2016. Early 2016, maybe even late 2015. Did I say Aaron Rodgers? No. Did I say Dorsey Levins, my all-time favorite Packer that I covered? No. Did I say Charles Woodson, another one of my favorites? No. Did I say Brian Bulaga? No, he was busy playing right tackle for the Green Bay Packers, so he wasn't an option.
At the time.
I said Mark Tauscher, And I was right. I'm not right about a lot, but I was right about him. He's amazing. All of that said, you could sense a butt coming. Kind of excited not to work with him today and work with you instead.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
You are, I got to talk to you last night. I got heated. I want to get into that conversation again. Not heated at you, heated at the NFL Players Association. Again, not the most, not the calmest I've ever been on the radio, but also not the most effective union I've ever seen. So the criticism is fair, is it not?
It's very fair. And and you know, that's your perspective covering this league for a long time. On the outside looking in, I was on the inside looking at it as a member of it. I'm still, if you want to look at this, technically a member of it. You know, I'm technically represented by it. I'm going to continue to be represented by it because I have benefits from it that I will continue to pull from the NFLPA for as long as I technically live, or as my beneficiaries live. So, yes, I am a member of the NFLPA until for the foreseeable future. Let's just put it that way. And there's many, right? Like, and we're not just talking like guys like myself that are currently just out of the league. We're talking guys that played a long time ago, right? We're talking beneficiaries of guys that played a long time ago that have passed, but their beneficiaries are receiving benefits from the league. So, like, this isn't just about guys that are currently playing or about to be drafted in the upcoming draft, or it's not just about that. So, like, that's why I do get, as you are, I am passionate about this too. Like, it isn't just about the guys currently right now. So I'm totally with you on it. It's been something that's been going, like, this isn't just like a right now issue. This has been going on for longer than, you know, the last 6 months, right? Like, it's not just a 6 month issue. And that's why people that get to talk to players like yourself and get to see kind of what players go through, the ins and outs. And it was funny because right when Homer and I got off the air yesterday, and we're going to have Homer on, which this will be great that we can talk about this. The poll question yesterday was, you know, should NFL players be paid more? And overwhelmingly, the answer at 83% when the show closed yesterday was no. So that means 83% of the fans believe that the owner should continue to get paid more than the players. And it's not sitting here saying that players should continue to make, you know, like, players should be greedier and more, but it just continues to show that for some reason the fan base continues to believe or continues to favor on the side of the ownership more than the player side. And, like, I don't know what it's going to take from the player side to try to get the fan base to shift over to the player side of it. Like, I don't know what it's going to take, right? Like, I don't know what players have to do that. But I'm going to tell you this much. Things like this certainly don't help. Like, it does not help in this. Like, having the head of our union do things like it doesn't help. And like, that's why all of this is just, it's not good. So, yeah.
So, all right. So a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to channel my inner Homer. That's a terrible poll. Terrible, stupid poll. Because here's the thing. The question is not whether you guys should get paid more. The question is whether your contract should be guaranteed like all the other leagues. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think it's any big secret. I'm not going to put my paycheck out there. I am happy with what I make. I'm able to pay all the bills and our mortgage. Great. You will have made more in your career than I will have made in my career. And that's the case for 99% of the folks that listen to the show, right? Maybe not David Gruber. You know, he's been winning cases for the last 30 plus years. So maybe he's in the same tax bracket. But my
think he
point,
does okay.
My point is I don't expect, and I was reading this morning, Dan Wetzel, who you know, like Jeff Passan, like a host of others, were at Yahoo Sports. Yahoo Sports, where my good friend Charles Robinson still is, because he did not jump ship to the mothership of ESPN. They have had some big-time people covering the NFL and sports in general. And Passan was there for a long time. Wetz was there for a long time. He's got a column on ESPN.com. And the headline is exactly what I want to talk about with us. It's why the NFLPA mess should matter to football fans. Okay? So I think that we'll get to that. But I agree with you, and I agree with 99% of our fans. We don't feel sorry for you because didn't, and you don't, and here's the thing, Brian, you're not asking for that. But here's the other issue. For every Brian Bulaga who was a first-round pick and then signed a second contract with the Packers and then a third contract with the Chargers, there are 100 other guys that are just trying to scratch out an NFL career, right? They're just trying to get to 3 years, which is a big accomplishment to stay in the league for 3 years. They're just trying to get to the point of being a vested veteran. And the league, the balance of power in the NFL of owners versus players is more out of whack than any other of our four major professional sports. And that's no offense to the WNBA or the soccer or any of that. It's just the reality. We think of the NHL, MLB, NBA, and NFL. Those are the big four. And you guys have a lot less juice. And then when you compound it with what I would call self-inflicted wounds, like, I'm not going to lie, I cover the league. I did not know Lloyd Howell Jr.'s name. Like, I knew that that Demoris Smith, who had been the longtime executive director of the NFLPA, had ended his tenure, and I knew they'd replaced him with someone. I did not know his name was Lloyd Howell Jr., who I don't know if he's related to Thurston Howell, who was stranded on Gilligan's Island or not. But I can tell you this, he makes a heck of a lot of money, and I don't understand what he's doing because he's certainly not fighting on behalf of his rank-and-file union members. But we'll get to Wetz's column because I do think this matters and I do think this is important. But to your point and to my phrase about unforced errors or self-inflicted wounds, I've told this story a bunch, but being at practice in 2012 in the offseason, in your third season, and Jeff Saturday comes along and he's a big head honcho in the Players Association. And you guys had gotten your 2011 CBA done, and him turning to Domofsky and me and Wes Hodkowitz and Bill Huber during a period which players do not talk to us during those circumstances. Like, you didn't even say hello to me if you passed me on your way to your next drill. You're locked in. And him turning to us and saying, does that look like non-contact to you guys? You guys should write something about that. Hey, blank you, bro. Do a better job of taking care of your rank and file members. Because that's another guy. Made a ridiculous amount of money, right? Super successful. He's going to end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm sure. Yep. One of the greatest centers to ever do it. But again, to get less practice time and do that kind of stuff, I don't see how that's super helpful. Getting long-term health care benefits and making sure that you guys get a greater chunk of your salaries guaranteed. That's the good stuff that you guys need. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to spend this time being preachy to fans because I don't want them turning off YouTube or turning the channel on their radios. We will explain why this should matter to you as a fan. But to me, the biggest issue here is that fans cheer for teams. They don't cheer for players. And once that player is gone, there's a new player, right? Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever do it. Do Packers fans give a damn about him at this point? No. They'll probably care the week that they play the Steelers, but they're all in on Jordan Love, and I get that. But it is that connection you feel to your favorite players that is part of being a sports fan. And I would also like to at some point get into today's show the idea that maybe Goody doesn't want to re-sign anybody. Like, maybe he just wants to cycle through everyone. And unless you're really, 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 really special, you may not even get a second contract, and you're definitely not getting a third. So this does matter, and this is important. But, Brian, the results of that poll do not surprise me. And, again, none of us here are asking for a groundswell of sympathy and support for the poor NFL player.
No, and like, that's what – and I don't want that for me to, like, to come off that way. That's not – the point of that poll was not for me to gripe about the salaries. That's not – the point of that, like, my reaction to that poll was that – to me, overwhelmingly shows that you got that fans for some reason support ownership more than players, and why that is I guess I would love to hear from fans why that is, right? Like that to me is why I'm just, I guess there's that disconnect of I guess between, you know, fans of the game that are so passionate, that cheer so hard for their teams on the field and the guys that they love supporting. But then when it comes to like things going on right now, like we're probably going to get into it. Like things like when Elton and things that happen, they side so easily with the team. And like, I just have such a, it kind of just confuses me at times. And then like polls like that come out and that's like, that's a very strong sided. I'm siding with the team on that. No, the team should take that money. Like that should be with the team. And most of the time, right? Like Green Bay is obviously a different scenario than all the other 31 teams. That's money in those guys' pockets. Like that is cash going in a billionaire, multi-billionaire, not just a billionaire. Now he just doesn't have 1 billion. He's got multi-billion. So like that's just money collecting back in their pockets. So like, I'm not saying that you should feel bad for, you know, we'll just say Patrick Mahomes that signed the $500 million. But, like, that money's not going to go to Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to Patrick Mahomes should NFL players make bigger salaries. That's not going to Patrick Mahomes. That's going to filter down to the other parts of the roster is kind of where I'm getting at is, like, Patrick Mahomes is going to make his money no matter what, right? Like, the Davante Adams are going to make their money no matter what. You know, Jamar Chase's, and those guys are getting their cash one way or another. Like, that's not who I'm talking about in this instance. It's the guys that are from, I don't know, like, maybe I'm wrong. It's the guys from 30 to 53, right? Like, you're looking at that number of guys that don't have a ton of security, right? Like, you're looking at 22 guys that are your starters, right, on offense and defense. And then you're looking from 30 to 53 are kind of like you're filling guys, like, right? Like that's kind of the way the NFL rosters are filled out. And that's, I know it sounds like very bleak and like kind of morbid, but that's the way it goes. And those guys are interchangeable from year to year. And those are the guys that need more protection throughout contracts. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when we're talking about protecting players, you know, contractually and things like that. So like when we say like, oh no, like it should be sided with the ownership, that's where I kind of get, you know, I'm like, well, you know, that's just money back in the owner's pockets. And because listen, they'll always find a way to sign your favorite player. Don't worry. Like if you're worried about them signing your favorite player or signing the big money contract, they'll always find a way. Like, fans never have to worry about them signing your favorite player or going into the market and getting, you know, the money guy you want. It's just like, you know that, I know that.
Unless your favorite player is an offensive lineman.
Yeah, then they don't want to do that. They're cash strapped for that.
See, I wonder when it comes to this specific poll question, I would call myself an average fan. Looking at this poll question, it seems that it's just asking, oh, do you want players to make more money?
Terrible.
And it's like, no, I don't want players to make more money. I'm barely making anything. Whereas if you phrased it, would you rather see the players make more money or the owners make more money? I feel like that would skew the other way entirely.
Yeah.
Where were you at about 5:45 yesterday?
Yeah.
Not listening to the Homer Hour, apparently.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and I understand, like, listen, if you were to ask fans that too, I understand their initial answer, like, right off the get, like, no, player, like, I get, okay, and there is no sympathy for NFL guys making lots of money, and I get it, right? Like, and I don't expect any sympathy for myself. I never expect that from, and most guys don't. And we shouldn't get any. I'm not, no one's asking for that, but, like, again, I made it somewhat clear. I'm not asking it for me. I'm asking it for the guys that essentially have no security, right? Like, right. That's essentially what I'm saying. Is like, I'm not asking it for when I was playing, or guys like Bakhtiari, or the Aaron Rodgers, or the Tays, or, like, that's not who I'm asking it for. I'm asking it for the guys that, year to year, have no idea what's going to happen to them. And if they get released, they have no idea if they're getting a job when that once they get released. And that's kind of where I'm getting at with this. And then, you know, I guess the counter argument to that would be, well, they've already made more money than most of us ever have. And, like, okay, I understand that. But, like, when that's, like, it's all in what their profession was. Like, and that's kind of where I'm just, I understand that that's not everyone's profession and everyone gets, I get that. I'm just talking about, based off where we're talking about with ownership and players, where are we on the side of, right? Like, that's all I'm saying. And I'm not trying to start an argument, a money argument of who,
right?
Like that's not what I'm trying to get at with, like, with people, is should these guys be making tons more millions of dollars? And that's not really where I'm looking to go with this.
Well, and look, the reality is this, the numbers are vastly different. I get it. Right. But there, and I would argue that you have to be very careful when you try to compare an NFL job as a player with any other job in the world, okay? Because it's different. It is just different. And by the way, your job window for you, for example, what'd you play, 11 seasons?
Yeah, 12.
Seasons. Tausch played 11. After that, yeah, great, you made all that money, but you're 30-some years old, you got 50 more years to live. You know, I mean, poor Brian Bulaga's got to work with Tausch and me on occasion. I mean, and then Homer. So if you put yourself, if you forget about the enormous numbers and just look at yourself in your job, it's still, in my opinion, relatable, right? Because you wouldn't want, let's say you're really good at your job as a, Let's use Home Depot. I know they don't sell ice cream, so Tausch is going to be mad at me for giving them free advertising. But, like, there's Home Depot, there's Lowe's, there's Ace Hardware, there's all kinds of Menards, Fleet Farm, put them all in the same group. And let's just make up an imaginary president of each of those organizations. And I've got Joe Bulaga here, who's the top of his class at working at, they know every inch of the store. Like, you want Joe on your team, and he becomes a free agent, and all these companies say, yeah, Joe's really good, but none of us are going to pay him what he's worth, and we're all going to collude to keep Joe making less, even though he's really good at his job. Because look, that's kind of what they did, frankly, to a guy in Lamar Jackson, who's a really, really good player. And nobody pursued him either, oddly enough, when he was a free agent at, like, age 26. And I know he'd had injuries, whatever else. But my point is that when we look at all this, I hope fans don't just feel like, oh, it's a bunch of rich guys who want more money. Because that is definitely not the perspective we're looking for. So, all right, I don't want people's eyes to glaze over. I Riley brought up something really obvious, but also interesting, because I want to talk about it in a different way. And that's something that Michelle Smallman said this morning on Sportsmanlike. I want to get to that coming up. We'll circle back to this, but I also want to talk about the offensive line. I'm at number 10 on my countdown at channel3000.com. And once again, I had to put two players together, because I don't know who the left tackle is going to be. And quite frankly, neither do the Packers. So I want to get to that as well. We've got Brian Bulaga and Riley Yauch as our cousin subs of the day. We'll talk a little bit about hot seats and my concept of preheating the oven. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good for nothing.
All right, so we're getting some pretty good feedback here in the YouTube comments, which I know Jesse derisively calls them dwellers. I, of course, respect the fact that they devote their time to watching our program on YouTube. Now, I want to get to what Michelle Smallman said. We'll do that next. But a couple of things from folks in the ESPN Madison chat, because that's where all the action is. Jalen, sorry, Bulaga, none of you players need to be making hundreds of millions of dollars. Again, bad poll question. Okay? We all agree. That's not the argument here. But I agree with Jalen. You don't need to be making hundreds of millions of dollars. I get it. Although baseball players make insane amount of money, and it's all guaranteed the minute they put their name on the contract.
And but, NBA. Mostly, majority of NBA players make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, you know, Dame collecting $113 million for the next 2 years not playing. Because, again, you're guaranteed that no matter what. But a couple of good points, and then we'll move on.
And can I just say this, too?
Of course you may.
I just want to say this. I agree with Jalen. Like I just want to say this. Like, do I think that players should be making hundreds of millions of dollars? No. And do majority of players make that? No. Like, let's just be dead honest here. Do majority of players make hundreds of millions of dollars? No, they don't. So, like, and will that happen? Probably not. Let's if we could count the guys that have made hundreds of millions of dollars, we'll probably have to start at the quarterback position, right? We'll start there, mm-hmm. and then we'll work down probably to the DN position, right? And then we'll probably work our way over to some corners, elite corners, like, you know, probably like Revis and Wood and some of those guys. And then we'll work our way over to the wide receiver position, especially recently with the way mm-hmm. the receivers are getting paid. And then maybe nowadays we're going to start working our way over to the tackles, like elite tackles. And that's about it if we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Like, but at the end of the day, like, there's not many guys that are getting that per se. And but I agree with him that, like, those shouldn't be regularly handed out contracts. Like, that's not something that should be a norm by any stretch of the imagination. I think people would be, or players in general, would be a lot more satisfied if they were handed out contracts that are being paid now, but they're guaranteed, mm-hmm. right? Because if you're handed out a contract, Jason, and you know this, that contract could be $200 million, but only 80 of it is guaranteed. You're not seeing $200 million. You're not even coming close to seeing $200 million. But a lot of the time, fans, I think, get a little bent out of shape because they see that $200 million, and they think the players getting $200 million, they're not getting anywhere near $200 million. And chances are, they won't sniff it. Mm-hmm. They won't sniff it, and they never will sniff it. And, like, that's kind of where I think things get a little misconstrued in the public eye.
Right, I think that's Ian and East Troy's point on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more. If owner's salaries were publicly shared like player salaries, I think that poll would have different results. Look, if you're going to make me choose between rooting for millionaires and rooting for billionaires, I'm rooting for the millionaires, right? They're closer to me than the billionaire. I'm not rooting for Jerry Jones. Boy, I really hope Jerry Jones makes more money this quarter. No. But and look, you have to be a true Packers fan to know these names that I'm going to read to you right now. Johnny Lumpkin, Keith Randolph Jr., Cornelius Johnson, Donovan Jennings, who got work with the number one offensive line, and Matt LaFleur didn't even realize he got work with the number one offensive line during the minicamp. Julian Hicks, James Esther, all those guys have $840,000 base salaries for this year. That is the league minimum now. Those guys aren't getting that money. A bunch of those guys are not making this team. And then they're going to go back, and they are going to, you know, we've had guys come through. I always love long snappers, right? Like Brett Goode was working for his father-in-law's, like, construction company when he got the call from the Packers. Another guy was doing tile, right? If you want, if you're looking for people that are identifiable for us normal folks, those are the guys, right? And again, they're not the ones that are getting these monster contracts. Here's the thing that I think is important, and then we will move on, because the one thing we can all agree on is that the owners take advantage of two groups. They take advantage of players, right? Because the contract, again, the Elgton Jenkins thing. He's not even asking for more money. He's just asking for existing money to be guaranteed so he has security. I think that's reasonable. I don't know why you would root for someone other than him in that debate. Yep. But they also take advantage of fans, because you're the ones who are paying the freight, right? I mean, complicated fella. So I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers, but I suppose it could be. In the YouTube comments, points out, like, you have to have 10 different streaming packages to be able to see all the games you'd like to see now, right? You're paying through the nose and other orifices for your tickets. Parking is expensive. You want to buy a jersey? I personally would recommend get one pre-owned on Poshmark. You'll save some cash. But you go to the pro shop, there ain't a whole lot of big sales at the pro shop. You're dropping a couple $100 if you want to look really, if you want your fit, that's one of the new words I've learned from the girls, to be on point, right? So my point is that if you're a fan, and I accuse the Packers of this all the time with ticket prices going up and you're not really getting anything for being a shareholder, and they love the narrative of being owned by the fans, but they don't necessarily live by that policy. Maybe Ed policy will change that a little bit. But they take advantage of you, too. And you're happy to let them do it because you love your team. And thank God you do, because it gives us something to talk about. Right? Like, I'm sorry. If this show was Brewers-centric or Bucks-centric, I love those teams. I want them to do well. Not nearly as many people would care. The NFL is king. But I think the only thing Brian and I are trying to express here, and the blame goes on the NFLPA here, too. Let's not lose sight of that. They're not fighting for the things that really matter. So, again, I don't want to be preachy, and I want to move on because I do want to get to this idea that Michelle Smallman brought up. But the bottom line is, we're not asking you to feel sorry for NFL players. What I think we are asking for you to do is think about the challenges that these guys face. The fact that they don't have long-term health care, and they're the ones that are putting their bodies on the line and their brains on the line for your entertainment, and I think it's reasonable to still say, hey, I don't want these guys to be overpaid. I want us to have cap room to go get Trey Hendrickson, which the Packers do, but they're not going to go do that, I'm sure. But I just, there's a little bit more of a humanity here and a little more, in my opinion, relatability to players than maybe that crappy poll question gives the impression of. Because that poll question sucked, bottom line. And I'm going to blame Homer, who's scheduled to appear later in the program. All right, I want to get to what Michelle Smallman said, because I really want to get use that as a jumping-off point for a conversation with Blue. We'll get to that coming up. Riley, so usually Tausch is telling everyone about Coors Light. Is that something you're going to do today?
I don't believe so. Do you not have the Coors read? Because there's nothing recorded, unfortunately,
for Coors. Well, then I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity to tell you about someone and a company that is a great partner like Coors, but also, more importantly, is a company that I have gotten a lot of great care from, and that, of course, is Steinhoffel's. We just got our new couch after 10 years of talking about it. We're excited about that. We've got our skee ball down here in the basement. We've got a nutcracker that stands guard all year long in our house because he's so cool. All those things. Steinhoffels has been great to us. They've been a partner of this show since the very beginning. And right now, it's Black Friday in July at Steinhoffels, and the deals are hotter than ever. You can save 10% off store-wide, and then on top of that, get amazing deals like a Beauty Sleep mattress for only $399, and make shopping easier with Steinhoffels' 18-month 0% interest financing. You can shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Also, coming up this Wednesday, this you're going to want to hear. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Madison for Sydney at volleyball camp with the Badgers. But Wednesday, July 16th, Matthew Golden, I think you've heard of him, first-round pick, will be at the Steinhoffel store here in Green Bay from noon to 1. You can stop by, say hi, grab a photo or an autograph with the Packers' first-round pick. So mark your calendars. That is Wednesday at the Steinhoffel store here in Green Bay, noon until 1. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch. In the words of Bryant Gumbel on Real Sports, let's move on. And we move on to something that our friend Michelle Smallman, Packers fan, still kind of a newbie Packers fan. She's about a year into her fandom or so, having selected them as her NFL fan bachelorette routine on Unsportsmanlike. She said something this morning that caught Riley Yauch's ear. And it caught mine as well. Here's what Michelle had to say about Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and them being on the hot seat.
Last year, Jordan Love dealt with injuries, specifically that injury he sustained in the first week in Brazil versus the Eagles, which impacted him throughout the season. Still made the playoffs, but were one and done losing to the inevitable Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. So I think that is a good amount of success for Jordan Love and his head coach, Matt LaFleur, in the first 2 years of his tenure. Now, obviously, after what he was able to do in the back half of year one and what they did in the playoffs, you expected a bigger step from Jordan Love next year. There are some people out there that thinks it's not been enough and that Matt LaFleur should be on the hot seat heading into 2025. I think that's absolutely bananas.
All right, bananas, which are a tasty, healthy treat, but not something that Brian Bulaga is growing on his farm. He's growing oranges, hopefully, and donkeys. In the words of great American orator Mark Tauscher, no blank blank. They definitely shouldn't be on the hot seat. That's not, again, it's kind of like the discussion we were having earlier. That's not the argument here. The argument here, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, is that's great what you've done these 2 years since you two have been the quarterback head coach combo. Time to do more. General manager said urgency and compete for championships. The coach has been to two NFC championship games with the previous quarterback. Perhaps you've heard of him, Aaron Rodgers. But now's the time for you to get to one of those with the current guy. Jordan Love, yeah, you played through injuries. Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre did that a hell of a lot and were still effective. Now you, hopefully you don't have to do that, but if you do, you got to figure out a way to still be effective while playing through injury. No one is on the hot seat right now. But if you don't deliver more than you have delivered in the first 2 years, I would argue that we start preheating the oven after that. We're not at 450 degrees to bake my cookies, but we are starting to turn up the heat a little bit. No one actually thinks they should be on the hot seat now, do we?
No. I mean, there's absolutely no way. Like, I mean, if someone actually thinks that of LaFleur, because, like, obviously the Jordan Love is, there's no, I mean, just signed his deal. I mean, the Jordan Love thing is not even a discussion, right? Like, that can't even be.
The question is, we know he's good. How good is he? That's the question.
Yes.
With him. Period.
Correct. Yeah, that's and like that's something that he's gonna now, like, you know, obviously he just signed his deal last year. We know the injuries, and you know, there were some ups and downs last year. No, this is a clean slate. Let's see how it goes. He's got more weapons added to what he's able to use. So let's see how this goes, right? Like, and the offensive line's been retooled and all that. So let's see how this goes this year. From LaFleur's perspective, I'm not sure how anyone can even kind of look at where he's at and go, he's on a hot seat right now. Like, that to me doesn't even make sense. Simply because, like, I look at it from, you know, from his start to where he is now. They missed the playoffs once, correct? If I'm not mistaken, is it once? Like, was it once or is it twice?
No, you guys, 19, 20, 21 made the playoffs. 22 missed. 23, yeah. 24 made it.
Okay, so he's missed the playoffs once. He's won the division, what was it, three times?
Three times, yeah, I believe so.
Won the division three times, made two NFC championship games or three NFC championship games?
Two.
Two or three?
Two. Had the number one seed in 21 while you were in Los Angeles and lost at home to the 49ers.
Yes. Yes, I remember that when I watched that. That was sad. And not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it was sad. It was sad to watch. I'm just saying it was sad to watch. But to look at it as a whole and to think he's on the hot seat is like it's crazy to me, because I always say this, and this isn't to like insult coaches from around the league. But if I always say this, if you're going to remove a head coach and place him with someone else, who are you going to go out and get and install that's going to do a better job than currently what's happening right now? Like in the current situation that LaFleur is doing, and I think he's doing a good job. What's going to happen? I think we saw this happen a long time ago in Los Angeles. It was actually San Diego. When the Chargers fired Schottenheimer, when he won, like, I think it was like 13 or 14 games.
14 and 2. Yep, 14 and 2.
Wow.
And they fired him, and they were never the same after. And, like, that's kind of where I'm getting at with this, is where if you fire a head coach that's doing a good job and they're winning games, and yeah, sure, they're maybe, you know, they're not getting to where you think they should be all the time, which is, like, NFC championship game or Super Bowl or things like that. And you just fire them because you think they should be there all the time. There's a chance major step backs happen, right? Like you go back quite a bit. And that's kind of where I'm thinking this could go if that's the route you want to take. Because I think LaFleur has this going in a positive direction. Now, if this season, for some reason, which I don't see it happening, does go backwards, right? Like, say for some reason, you know, they won 11 last year. Say they go closer to 500, right? Like, for some reason, that happens.
8-8-1.
Say they go 8-8-1. There needs to be, obviously, a very deep evaluation of what's happening, right? Like, there needs to be a real look at what's going on within, you know, the guys that are there, evaluation of starters and things of that. Because if we're just looking at based on schematics and the scheme and this and that, the scheme that's being run is being used around the league quite a bit in a lot of different spots. And it's successful in a lot of different spots around the league right now. It's kind of the hot thing being used around the league. So, like, it's not like it is a old scheme that doesn't work anymore and we're trying to just beat a dead horse here with this scheme. No, it is the offensive scheme that works. And the defensive scheme that he's brought in with Hafley is the scheme that works in the league right now. It is currently the defensive kind of thing that works. So, like, we're talking about an offensive and defensive, you know, scheme here that it works. We know it works. Teams are using it. It's very successful. So, like, Now we have to look at who's executing this on the field. And that's kind of where, if this doesn't go the way it should, then you got to dive deeper into that. But I do think that the team that's assembled is a good team. I do think that there's a ton of talent. I think the coaching staff that's assembled is a good coaching staff. I think LaFleur has done a good job, and I'll continue to say it, and you got to cover the first one. Obviously, I wasn't there when this happened. When a Hall of Fame quarterback exits and a new one takes over, there's going to be a transition period. And I know Packer fans have gone through one, and now they're going through another one. It's not all smooth sailing and perfect through those first couple years. It just isn't. So we have to be able to adjust and give some things time, right? And this is normally the year that things should start to smooth themselves out and we see major progression. And that's kind of what I expect from, you know, Jordan Love and the team in general this year. Because, like, the thing is, I know LaFleur knows exactly how this thing should look and how it should go from an offensive standpoint. I think Halfley showed defensively how it should look because they were pretty damn good defensively last year overall. You look at how they finished in all the major categories. I think that to say that he's on a hot seat, man, I'm not there. I'm not even close to there.
But it again, when Ed Policy says two things to us a couple Fridays ago in the alumni suite. One, that neither Goody nor LaFleur is getting an extension before the season. Yeah. And two, that he doesn't believe in guys being on the final year of their contracts and being lame ducks in either of those jobs. What that tells me is if they take a step back and go 8-9, he's either going to have to decide, okay, I don't like lame duck seasons, but we're going to have one here, or we're going to extend them each 1 year so they're not lame ducks, but we're not going to give them multi-year extensions. And as I saw was pointed out, I think by Donnie in DeForest, look, we're having a totally different conversation if there's still only six playoff teams. It's a fair critique. Because then they have missed the playoffs in 22, 23, and 24 because the last 2 years they've been the seventh seed. So, but that we don't live in that world. Those aren't the rules. There is a seventh team. Yep. They made it. They won a playoff game 2 years ago. But if they do take a step back, and I do see a path to that happening, it's a difficult schedule. They are counting on a lot of guys to elevate their games. And if they don't, and if they have injury problems like San Francisco and like Detroit did, it could go sideways on them. So, but I don't think as we stand here today on July 11th, the general manager, the head coach, or the quarterback are on the hot seat. But they are in pivotal seasons that will decide whether their seat gets hot or if they're getting dunked in a cold tub with a nice extension and a berth in the NFC Championship game, and everyone's cool about where they're at. And I think that's the reality. All right, you said something interesting there that I want to circle back to. I have in front of me the current NFL head coaches. Matt LaFleur, already going into year seven, is ninth among active coaches in wins. Of the 32 guys coaching a team right now, he's got the ninth most wins. We're going to do a little yes or no like Alex Stroh likes to do. I'm going to give you the name of a coach, and you're going to say, yes, I would rather have him than LaFleur, or no. Okay? We're going to do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch. All right, we're going to play a little game. We don't need fancy schmancy music. We're not going to call it Yerp or Nerp, although we could. Simple yes or no, Brian. First, the coaches that have amassed more wins in their active coaches who've amassed more wins in their coaching career. So that does not include, say, Mike McCarthy, who is back in De Pere. Okay? Yes or no, I would rather have this coach than Matt LaFleur as the coach of the Packers. Andy Reid.
It would probably be, he's one of the few that I would probably say yes. One of the few.
Mike Tomlin.
No.
No, I agree. So far, we're in agreement on two in a row. John Harbaugh.
No.
I'm torn on that one. I think he's a really good football coach.
I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I'm not saying he's not.
He's been to what? Two Super Bowls and he's won one. Next one, mine's definitely a no on this guy. Sean Payton.
No. No.
Pete Carroll.
Now, this is tough because I love Pete Carroll's energy and I like what he does when he comes into a team and you know he brings a certain juice to a team.
Mm-hmm.
And like here's the thing, like his defensive scheme and everything that he does is very similar to Halfley and kind of what this is the Seattle vibe to it and that's what it is. Obviously, there's different tweaks to everything. But I still like LaFleur. I'd still prefer LaFleur. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to stick with LaFleur.
Agreed. Sean McDermott.
No, I'm going to stay with LaFleur.
Me too. Here's another one that I'm going to say yes. Sean McVay.
I like McVay a lot too because I think they're extremely similar. Like I mean, they're like I feel like you're getting essentially and like obviously they're different guys. You know what I mean? Like I've met both of them. Obviously, I know Matt better than I know McVay, but they're different personality. You know, guys. They're different guys, but they're very similar styles of coaching and the energy they bring. So if you're gonna go like for like, and if you're gonna remove one and bring another one in, it would be like yeah, because you're getting a very similar style and energy and
yep,
you know pretty much everything. So I would say yes on that. Yeah.
All right. Now, last one who has more wins than LaFleur is in that same vein. But whereas my answer on Sean McVay was an immediate yes, this one I'm not sure would be a yes. Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, this is tough because I know he's a good football coach and I know he's had a lot of success, obviously, in his time in San Francisco. The schematics of what he does is very similar to LaFleur. Offensively and defensively, their beliefs are very similar. And, you know, I don't it's tough for me. From what I just know personally, from my experience being around both and competing against Kyle, I'm going to say LaFleur.
Okay.
I'm going to stay with LaFleur.
All right, so those are the guys ahead of him. So just in the interest of time, here are the guys that are active head coaches that have fewer wins as an NFL head coach in their careers. Stop me when I get to someone that you would say yes, you would rather have him than LaFleur, okay?
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, Mike Vrabel, Todd Bowles, Nick Sirianni, Zach Taylor, Dan Campbell, Kevin Stefanski,
I like O'Connell.
O'Connell's next.
From Minnesota.
He's the guy he's the guy I would say, and I like Matt. I just there's something about Kevin O'Connell that I like a little bit better, and I've said that before.
See, and you know why we're all because these guys are all cut from the same tree. That's why we continue to say that, and that's why I continue to say, who are you going to go get that isn't from the same mold, right? Like all these guys that we continue to say we like are from the same mold. which is why if you get rid of LaFleur, who are you going to go get that is like this? So that's why I always caution.
And when teams change coaches, they usually go with someone who's the opposite, right?
Yes.
So they would have to be like, and again, we don't think that the seat should be hot. This is not a Jesse Nelson, Pat Murphy conversation. What we're saying is that if you had to go get someone else, are there that many people that you'd rather have coaching your favorite Packers team right now? I just don't see it. Like, do you want a Dan Campbell? He's an offensive guy, but obviously a different attitude, right? Former tight end. Mm-hmm. Do you want, you know, DeMeco Ryans? Like,
I think he's a great coach. I like him a lot. I think what he's done in Houston is phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's done really well.
Mike McDonald.
I'm just not.
Like, do you want? No. I don't want those guys. I want LaFleur.
No. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We need to get ready for Homer, who's coming up at 10:30. Lord knows that'll be. I'm eager. I'm going to do to him what he does to me when I'm on with you. I'm just going to sit back and listen. Brian, say hello. Since you're such a nice guy, say hello to ask Homer how he's doing. He's scheduled to appear. We've got trivia coming up. We've got a lot going on. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour like we always do when Brian Blog is on the show late. We'll do it in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.